I'm delighted to welcome you to the latest edition of our church's audio ministry. In Hebrews chapter 13 and sentence 9, it tells us that it's good for our heart to be strengthened by grace. And that's our hope and our prayer as you listen in to the service, the songs, the readings, and the teaching of the Bible that is at the heart of the recording this month. We long that our hearts might be strengthened by grace, as God's Holy Spirit, in his kindness and love, works through his word into our hearts and changes how we think and how we feel. I hope you'll be deeply blessed by the songs, by the prayers, by the reading of the Bible, and by the teaching of that word.
Mighty and strong to save, you're mighty and strong to save, you're mighty and strong to save, rescuer. You're mighty and strong to save, you're mighty and strong to save, you're mighty and strong to save, rescuer. From the heavens you came, to the depths of the grave, to redeem by your praise, rescuer. Jesus, you overcame death itself for our sake. Let the world now proclaim, rescuer, oh what a savior, freedom forever. We lift our hands with chains undone. Hearts that no mercy cannot stay silent. We sing the song. From the heavens you came, to the depths of the grave, to redeem by your praise, rescuer. Jesus, you overcame death itself for our sake. Let the world now proclaim, rescuer. Set no mercy, cannot stay silent. We sing the song of saving love. You're mighty and strong to save. You're mighty and strong to save. You're mighty and strong to save. Rescue us. Mighty and strong to save. You're mighty and strong to save. You're mighty and strong to save. Rescuer. With chains undone, I said no mercy, cannot stay silent. We sing the song of saving love.
Christ be with me, Christ within me, Christ behind me, Christ before me, Christ beside me, Christ to win me, Christ to comfort and restore me, Christ beneath me, Christ above me, Christ in quiet and Christ in danger, Christ in hearts of all that love me, Christ in mouth of friend and stranger.
Grant us grace to desire you with our whole heart, that so desiring we may seek and find you, and so finding may love you, and so loving may hate those sins from which you have delivered us, through Jesus Christ our
Lord. Father, give us wisdom to perceive you, diligence to seek you, patience to wait for you, eyes to behold you, a heart to meditate upon you, and a life to proclaim you through the power of the Spirit of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
God sent his Son, they called him Jesus. He came to love, heal and forgive. He lived and died to buy my pardon. An empty grave is there to prove my Savior lives. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know he holds the future, and life is worth the living just because he lives. How sweet to hold a newborn baby and feel the pride and joy he brings. But greater still, the calm assurance this child can face uncertain days, because he lives. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know he holds the future, and life is worth the living just because he lives. And then one day I'll cross the river, I'll fight life's fight, no war with pain. And then as death gives way to victory, I'll see the lights of glory and I'll know he lives. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because because I know he holds the future. Life is worth the living just because he lives. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know he holds the future. Life is worth the living just because he lives.
Hebrews 13, verses 9 to 16. Do not be carried away by all kinds of strange teaching. It is good for our hearts to be strengthened by grace, not by eating ceremonial foods, which is no benefit to those who do so. We have an altar from which those who minister at the tabernacle have no right to eat. The high priest carries the blood of animals into the most holy place as a sin offering, but the bodies are burned outside the camp. And so Jesus also suffered outside the city gate to make the people holy through his own blood. Let us, then, go to him outside the camp, bearing the disgrace he bore, for here we do not have an enduring city, but we are looking for the city that is to come. Through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of lips that openly profess his name, and do not forget to do good and share with others, for with such sacrifices, God is pleased.
In the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Spirit, Lord, we come. We gather together to lift up your name, to call on our Savior, to fall on your grace. Hear the joyful sound of our offering as your saints bow down, as your people sing. We will rise with you, lifted on your wings, and the world will see that our God saves, our God saves. There is hope in your name. Morning sun, songs of praise, 'cause I got saved. Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Spirit, Lord, we come. We gather together to lift up your name, to call on our Savior, to fall on your grace. Hear the joyful sound of our offering as your saints bow down, as your people sing. We will rise with you, lifted on your wings, and the world will see that, and the world will see that. Our God saves, our God saves. There is hope in your
I got saved.
the Son, in the name of the Spirit, Lord, we come. We're gathered together to lift up your name, to call on our Savior, to fall on your grace.
And if you've got a Bible there, I wonder if you would find Hebrews chapter 13 again. It would be tremendous if you would, either on your phone or, as I said, in one of the church's ones. It's on page 1212. And while you refine that, I must tell you about the experience I had on Thursday. It's going to be etched in my mind for a long, long time. I nipped down to London for the day on Thursday for a sequence of meetings. And one of them was with Jeremiah Darwood. Jeremiah is originally from the Sudan. In fact, he spent 20 years in the Sudan working for an organization called OM, a Christian organization, until he and his wife, who's from Ireland, and their kids found their liberty and their lives at risk. He ended up on a watch list and still is, and can't return to his home nation of Sudan. And they came to the UK, and he became the minister of East Ham Baptist Church. Now, East Ham in London is one of the least diverse areas of London there is. It's almost 100% Muslims from North Africa, almost that whole area. And East Ham Baptist Church, 150 years old, is right in the middle of that community. And Jeremiah arrived, and just after he began as minister, he received a letter from the London Baptist Association telling him that in 12 months' time, the church would be closed, the building sold for flats. Well, that was 10 years ago. And the church has grown. The building now is magnificent. It had been condemned, and they're only allowed to use one room 10 years ago because of fire regs. It's now absolutely magnificent. They've built two houses, which create a huge income on a bit of derelict land the church owned just behind it. And they've seen dozens and dozens of baptisms, almost all from Muslims from this North African Sudanese kind of background. An amazing story of what God is doing in that area. But the thing I actually want to tell you about is the lunch that he gave me, though. I felt I needed to tell you about the church growth first, but it's the lunch that I want to talk about this morning, because he took me to his cousin's restaurant called the Global Kitchen. And I've never seen anything like it. As we went in, underneath the big banner saying the Global Kitchen, it said seating capacity 1,200 people. And you walk into this massive warehouse. I mean, it's pristine and clean. It's all marble and super posh. And there's 1,200, just rows and rows and chairs and chairs and chairs. And it was heaving with people. And it's an all-you-can-eat buffet. And you stand at the buffet at one end, and I'm not joking, it's like you're on a launch pad for a rocket or something. These two counters run either side, laden with food from every nation you could possibly imagine, with chefs cooking stuff up. Under the fruit area, there was at least a dozen pieces of fruit. I didn't even recognize where they might be from. And I had to measure this thing. So I took these big strides down the middle of it. 120 strides. That's 100 meters of an all-you-can-eat buffet. It was quite amazing. And then after we'd tucked in, and it was $4.99 per person. Okay, I'm like, I'm gonna take the kids down there. That's worth the train fare to London just there. Feed them for a week. Don't forget the little doggy bag. You take a doggy bin bag there, wouldn't you? And just kind of, you know, Santa sack it home. But then I thought we were finished. You know, I'd eaten my full. And Jeremiah gets up, and I figured we were walking out. I kind of waddle after him, you know, follow him out. But no, we're not leaving. We're going into the dessert restaurant. They have a whole separate restaurant just for dessert. This place was amazing, absolutely phenomenal. But oddly, if you've got that picture in your mind of this like amazing array of food in front of you, all of it looking so tasty and delicious, that's actually the image we have here in sentences 9 and 10. Would you have a look at it? That's the image we've got here, sentence 9 and 10. Let me just tack us through these sentences. Sentence 9, it says, "Do not be carried away by all kinds of strange teaching." That little phrase there, carried away, literally means to scoff. Gluttonous, unrestrained scoff. Scoffing, just having so much around you that you're just shoving it in your mouth endlessly. You can't get enough of it. No discernment at all. I mean, it sounds like four boys in the house. Just anything just gets eaten and shoved in your mouth. The point he's making, it's true then, it's true today, is there is a huge array of teaching about Jesus. A massive array of teaching about life, about Jesus, about who God is. And lots of it is strange teaching. Do you see that word there in verse 9? It's not helpful, it's not healthy, it's going to take you away from Jesus, and yet the risk is we're just shoving it in our mouth. We're just scoffing it in an unrestrained, unthinking kind of way. It's laid out there, it's easy to get at, and we're just shoving it in. Instead, look how sentence 9 continues. Instead, we need a deliberate, healthy selection. It's good for our hearts to be strengthened by grace, not by eating ceremonial foods, which is of no benefit to those who do so. Do you see the idea? Don't just shove whatever is presented in front of you. Ceremonial, it looks so delicious and nice, it's so tempting. No, no. Be careful. Be aware. Not everything that wears the name Jesus is true to who Jesus is. Not everything that is out there is healthy just to shove into your spiritual mouth. It's not going to do you much cardiac good spiritually. It's not going to strengthen your heart. It's going to cause all sorts of problems, of tightening of arteries, of filling of flab. It's not going to be good. So be selective. Be careful. And verse 10 tells us the main way to be careful, which is all about who you select and allow to provide your food. Who you let come to your table and put food in front of you. Look at sentence 10. We have an altar or a table. It's the same kind of image. From which those who minister at the tabernacle have no right to eat. Now for them then, those who minister at the tabernacle were these Jewish leaders, which was their heritage, but who were saying to them, Jesus is not enough. Come back to the religious rituals. Come back to all our regulations. Come back to the need of animal sacrifices. Jesus is not enough. And what the writer is saying to them is saying, don't let them come to your table. Don't let them bring their food to your table. Be selective and careful who you allow to feed you. Remember, this is a leadership passage. This is all about discerning correctly who is to lead you, who you allow to lead you, and then how we follow them. We'll come on to that next week. And the first thing he's saying here is be careful who your chef is. Don't just invite anyone to cook the meal for you, okay? Be careful who the chef is. I've learned this from Naraj in Nepal. The times I go on my own, Naraj and I now have this growing competition where he tries to take me to the most obscure street food vendor there is to see if I will not be willing to eat what is presented before me. And I'd just like to say he has not won yet, okay? And most of these street food vendors, they're in essence are a wheelbarrow full of hot coals, and a man or a woman kind of finds a little edge on the pavement near the roadside and pushes up the wheelbarrow with hot coals, and there's some kind of grating or rack that's been placed, and there's meat cooking on it. And often you can't tell what kind of meat it is. Sadly, sometimes you can, and that doesn't help. And what Naraj has taught me to do is to look at who the chef is. Look at the chap who's cooking away and ascertain their level of health, because they eat what they cook. And if they look pretty healthy and well, then you're like, okay, I should be all right. If they're looking a bit ropey, and one time, I'll be honest, we're standing in a queue for one of these vendors, and he's cooking up something that looks suspiciously like some kind of lizard on there. In fact, I knew it was a lizard. It was on a stick with its forelegs sprayed out like this, right? And he's cooking away, and there's a queue there, and then he's holding his cooking utensil like this, and then he turns around and goes, and like vomits in the gutter at the edge and carries on cooking. Now, half the queue disappeared, including Naraj and I, because you just know that if it's made the chef sick, it's not going to do you much good, is it? Right? Right? That's the kind of point he's making here about teaching about Jesus. He's saying, be careful who you allow to cook that food for you. Don't just invite anybody. In their particular case, it was these Jewish leaders who were saying Jesus is not sufficient. And you need to return to these old rituals and practices that they'd left. And they were very tempted to. What he now does is to give us the characteristics, if you like, of a trustworthy chef, of a trustworthy meal. Of what are the characteristics of someone who eating what they present is going to make us healthy? We're to be wise not to scoff everything, be selective and careful, and that begins with choosing wisely who you allow to your table to give you that spiritual food, to teach you. And here his language changes. It seems to us a disjoint.
He moves now in sentence 11 to 16 to start talking about sacrifices. In fact, three sacrifices he talks about. Sentence 11, he describes it. The high priest carries the blood of the animals into the most holy place as a sin offering. He's describing a sacrifice. And then the second one, he names sentence 15. Through Jesus, therefore, let us continue to offer to God a sacrifice of praise. And then a third of them, sentence 16, he uses that phrase again. Do not forget to do good and to share with others, for with such sacrifices God is pleased. Three sacrifices to describe a trustworthy chef. Now, for us, the move from dining room to temple sacrifice seems odd, doesn't it? For them, there was a very thin line between the two. Because what was sacrificed on the temple on one day, the next day would constitute your dinner via the market. What was killed in the temple and slaughtered as a sacrifice would go to the market, be purchased by you and eaten the next day. So in their minds, this is a very natural flow. Eat well, then look at the sacrifice. Eat healthily, look at the sacrifice. If it's a right and good sacrifice, eating it's going to do you good. Do you good. Now there's three of them here. The first then is the sacrifice of a readiness to suffer, just like Jesus. Is this a leader, a teacher? Are you a leader, a teacher? And isn't it striking? Steve and Lawrence and Ruth all talked about family members, parents, grandparents. Leadership is often invisible. You'll be leading so many people you don't realize you're leading until in 10,000 years' time they give you a tear-filled hug and say thank you in heaven. So this is appointing leaders for our church, but it's also about the leadership, the invisible leadership we have in all sorts of ways. The first is a readiness to suffer just like Jesus, to sacrifice in following him. Let's have a look at it and see if I can unpack for it. Some of the words are a bit opaque. Let me see if I can help. Sentence 11. The high priest carries the blood of animals into the most holy place as a sin offering, but the bodies are burned outside the camp. And so Jesus also suffered outside the city gate to make the people holy through his own blood. What we're meant to see as consistent between the animal sacrifice that only pointed towards Jesus and then Jesus' full and sufficient sacrifice is the outside. Did you see that? The animal is taken outside, away from the city. Jesus was taken outside, away from the city. Golgotha, the hill of the skull where Jesus was crucified, was outside of Jerusalem. He's saying, look, this great Jesus we follow, he went away from the comfort and the security of the city. He left the safety and the popularity of the city to do what God was calling him to do. He went out. Now look at sentence 13. Let us then go to him outside the camp, bearing the disgrace he bore. For here we do not have an enduring city, but we are looking for the city that is to come. Do you see what he's saying? He's saying, look for leaders, teachers, who are ready to locate themselves away from the security and the comfort of the city and go where Jesus is. Look for those who are ready to suffer just like Jesus suffered. Look for those who are ready to bear the disgrace. That's the word, isn't it? Just as Jesus did. They don't stay in the safety of the city. They don't build the city around them of comfort and preference and security. They go where Jesus is, leaving that all behind them. Friends, that's the leaders we need to lead us as a church. That's the kind of leaders we need to be to our children, to our friends, to those who watch us in our small group. That we sacrifice the safety of the city to go out where Jesus is, to step towards him where it is dangerous and dirty and risky. That's where we need to go. That's the first sacrifice we're looking for, those who will feed us well, that they go where Jesus is. We're looking for leaders who follow Jesus away from safety, out of the city, that choose to locate themselves where Jesus is. Sacrifice number two then. Have a look with me, would you, at sentence 15. Through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise. The fruit of lips that openly profess his name. The second thing we're looking for is people who are ready to bear the cost, that has to have a cost for it to be a sacrifice, bear the cost of talking about Jesus. that we're looking for leaders and we ourselves want to be the kind of people who are quick and ready to talk about Jesus, to sing about him in the songs we sing, to talk about him privately with our friends or our work colleagues, to be publicly known that we are one of Jesus's people. Do you see the little phrase? It said they openly profess his name. His name. I think it's incredibly important that actually we do not talk about God. That we do not talk about God, but we talk about Jesus. We give God his name. We actually live in a culture where it is surprisingly acceptable to talk about God. Because everyone, therefore, can then just define who and what they mean by God in their own mental definition. God is just a generic, broad, all-encompassing phrase. We need to openly profess his name. That was the challenge for them. Surrounded by Jewish believers, if they just talked about God, that was no problem at all. But if they talked about Jesus as God, that was a very different story. It was about a year ago, I received a letter from one of the senior academics, well, senior administrative staff at Staffordshire University. I was scheduled to do a week of talks in the philosophy faculty and with the Christian Union. And I received this very carefully worded letter. In fact, it came as a real letter, like made with paper and a pen. And I knew it was serious because it began, "Dear Reverend Alex." And I always know if I'm reverendized, I'm in trouble. It's guaranteed, okay? And this letter, she very nicely spelt out in this letter saying, "Alex, we're delighted to host you at Staffordshire campus to do these series of lectures. We're delighted that you're coming to do this, but we respectfully ask that you do not talk about Jesus, but only talk about God or the divine in the general." Very happy for me to go and talk about God, but not to talk about Jesus. Now, what she was concerned was some kind of radicalization, some media-driven hype, and it was very easy for me to talk to her and explain what I would and would not be doing. And in fact, she came to the entire week of talks and was very happy with direct conversation of Jesus. She had an idea in her head of what I would do that wasn't accurate, but it shows a culture we live in. It's not good enough just talk about God. We do need to give him his name, and then his name is Jesus. That's who God is. And not just any Jesus, not our version of Jesus, our best idea, our fabrication, our speculation, the Jesus of the Bible, this Jesus. And so, friends, we are looking for leaders who, one, are ready to follow Jesus wherever he takes, away from the city into the danger, but also those who speak about him, sing about him, have the courage to use his name often and regularly with courage and compassion. But the name Jesus is on their lips. It is on their lips. Thirdly and finally, as we're looking for those sacrifices we see in people that will feed us well, the third and final one is the sacrifice of a shared life. Look at sentence 16, if you would. "And do not forget to do good and to share with others, for with such sacrifices, God is pleased." The third and final characteristic of someone we could trust to feed us, as we discern rightly, not scoffing everything that happens to have the label Jesus, but discerning rightly. The third and final one is we're looking for leaders, and we want to be leaders who share our lives with others. But it's a sacrifice. That means the amount we share has a cost on us, doesn't it? Otherwise, it's not a sacrifice. So our children see in us and understand through us that their holiday is not quite what it could be because we were so generous to someone else. And our children, if we have them, or our roommates, are shocked by who we welcome into our home because we're so committed to sharing our lives with others. I remember a very awkward conversation with one of our neighbours who recognised a friend who regularly is at our house from their role in the courthouse in Stafford. Shocked, shocked that we would let that person enter our home. I hope you've shocked your neighbours in the same way. That's the kind of leaders we're looking for as a church as well. They follow Jesus into the unknown, first sacrifice. They leave the safety of the city. Is that the leader you are? Is that how you're leading your friends, your small group? Number two, they use Jesus' name. and know the sacrifice and cost of that. And number three, there's a sacrifice in how they share their lives. I want to finish, though, by removing it for a moment from the context of leaders. Though I hope you all see yourself as a leader from that video, see the roles that you are in, which were articulated by those three. But I just want to land for the last minute or two, so get your wits around us and just talk, well, what does it mean for all of us? How could we see what is being said here about trustworthy leaders, the sacrifices they make, and say, actually, it's true for all of us? And just encourage you this week. So my first encouragement is, could you take one step further away from the safety of the city and towards where Jesus is this week in your life? Just one step further towards where Jesus is, outside the city, outside the camp, away from the security, the popularity and the safety. What would that one step mean for you? One step further towards where he is and away from building your empire in this world. Number two, would you speak up? Would you speak about Jesus to one person this week? Who could that be? This week, would you just speak up about Jesus to one person? Who could that be? And number three, would you have great fun this week in surprising someone by sharing something with them? That's a good one, isn't it? Would you share your life in some way that is the most beautiful surprise for someone? Because you send your kids to school on Friday with a little Lego figure for every kid in their class. And you've paid for it, right? Or you reach out and welcome that person just to come to dinner and squeeze them around the table and just share a bit of life. Or you give £1,000 to that family you know are struggling. And could you just surprise someone this week? That's all I'm asking. Would you step out? Would you speak up? Would you surprise someone? As your action off the back of this.
Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Oh, oh my soul. Worship his holy name. Sing like never before. Oh my soul. I'll worship your holy name. The sun comes up, it's a new day dawning. It's time to sing your song again. Whatever may pass and whatever lies before me, let me be singing when the evening comes. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Oh, oh my soul. Worship his holy name. Sing like never before. Oh my soul. I'll worship your holy name. You're rich in love and you're slow to anger. Your name is great and your heart is kind. For all your goodness I will keep on singing. 10,000 reasons for my heart to find. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Oh, oh my soul. Worship his holy name. Sing like never before. Oh my soul. I'll worship your holy name. And on that day when my strength is failing, he
end draws near and my time has come. Still my soul will sing your praise unending. 10,000 reasons and forevermore. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Oh, my soul, worship your holy name. Sing like never before, oh, my soul, I'll worship your holy name. Yes, I'll worship your holy name. Yes, I'll worship your holy name.
As we finish our time together, I hope you've been richly blessed. Our volunteers who put together this audio ministry are delighted to serve you in this way. And as I said at the beginning, our hope and our prayer is that your heart might have been strengthened by grace. And so I too pray that God might bless you and keep you and shine his light upon you.